business owner? Entrepreneur? Want to learn how online marketing can improve your business?
Your questions.
Our advice.
This is Not a Real Job.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another episode of Not a Real Job, a podcast about marketing and digital worlds and all sorts of fun stuff like that. I am your host, one of your hosts, rather, Chris Van Patten, and I make websites and products and just all sorts of fun things based out of New York City.
And I am the other host, who apparently barely counts, and I do digital marketing, social media for travel and tourism clients from Nova Scotia, Canada.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. All right, so we're both coming off of some long breaks. It's been a little while since we recorded our last episode, and actually this episode is a day late just because life gets in the way. But both of us, I'm going to speak for you as well. I hope that's okay.
Go nuts. You know what? If you just want to run with this one, let me know.
Fantastic. I'll let you know when you can come in.
Cool. I'll just be drinking.
Yes, for sure.
Don't mind the sound of ice in the glass.
Perfect. I'm jealous. But we were both sort of busy and out of town and just doing different things. But both of us also have ways that we can both be productive, even when we're not being productive. And that is the theme of today's episode, freeing up your time and delegating and just the different productivity apps and solutions that can help you be very productive, even by doing less. So I guess first up, let's start with sort of just the simplest, the apps. And we are both a fan of an app called To-Do. That's T-E-U-X-D-E-U-X. So maybe you want to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I forget where I heard of this app. I think it was probably on Stellar. So Stellar.io is, it's this aggregator of people's faves on Twitter and other platforms. So I think I just been following some people. And a tweet about this app had gotten quite popular, so I decided to check it out and went to the homepage and was immediately sold on the idea. I love, first of all, I mean, we've talked about this, and I forget if it was like episode one or two, but I love apps and other things that charge a price, a fair price, and provide you with something. I love business models being explicit. And To-Do has a very obvious, explicit business model, which is you pay them $3 a month and they give you the most simple and most easy and most refreshing to-do list application you could ever dream of. Why I love paying for it is because I know, unlike, you know, other free services from, you know, companies like, say, large search engine providers, I know what To-Do's business model is, and it is that I will pay them to use a service. It's not they will give it to me for free so that they can use, say, all the information I put in my to-do list to, you know, serve me up ads or in other ways make money off of me. So I love it for that. And what it is, you basically, it's cloud-based, so, you know, you can enter in your to-do list items from your computer. There's the iPhone app, so, you know, they sync between each other. And it is simple as, you know, go to today's date or some date in the future, type in a task you have to do, and that's it. If you don't accomplish it, if you don't complete it, and you mark it as complete simply by clicking on it, then it just rolls over to the next day. You can do stuff like, for instance, I do reporting for clients on, you know, regular days of the week. So every Monday I have a report due for one client. So all I do is I typed in, you know, report for such and such client every week, and I hit enter, and it put in report for that client every week. So every Monday, it's now in my to-do list with, you know, one sentence typed.
Yeah, I mean, what I love specifically about this app compared to others, and I have tried dozens of to-do list apps, is that it's just so simple. And you said that too, but I don't know, there's something about not having to think about, you know, projects. Other apps make you put things into projects or context if you're a GTD person, and there's no, you know, being able to color a to-do list item, you know, none of that. You can't attach files to a to-do list item. And for some people, maybe that's restricting, but I think making it so simple, it means you don't get bogged down in the app itself and trying to get the most out of the app. You just kind of focus on the actual things that you have to do, which is very refreshing from a to-do list app.
Exactly. It's not intimidating. It's not overwhelming. I'm never afraid to open up my to-do list versus my calendar. Sometimes I am scared to open that. My email certainly is a terrifying thing that I'd usually prefer to avoid if I could. But my to-do list app, I'm not at all, because there isn't, you know, a ton of folders. There aren't all these different colors. There's not all these, you know, things in the future I need to worry about, because the only day highlighted in my to-do, I've got it up right now. I always have it up. It's all that's here is today. And I'm looking at the 6 things I didn't get done today. But, you know, I go through them. Nothing's the end of the world if I do it tomorrow, and I don't have to do anything about that. When I go into the office tomorrow, all those items will just be at the top of tomorrow's to-do list, and I'll worry about them then.
Yeah, and what I love about this model of, or this, the way they have it set up, where you focus specifically on, in other to-do apps, you maybe make your to-do list item, and then you assign a date to the item. It's sort of the opposite here. You actually assign your to-do list items to a date. Mm-hmm. So it sort of it keeps you focused, where every day you can say, what can I accomplish today? Rather than getting bogged down, you know, I used to make to-do lists where I would say, design this website. Well, that's not really a great item on your to-do list, because there are a lot of components that in that, that, you know, it's a project that might take a lot of days. And to-do sort of focuses you on, what can you accomplish specifically? What is a specific action item that you can take? And I think thinking about to-do list items in that way actually makes you more productive, because if I put, you know, design X website on my to-do list, I'm going to be much less likely to tackle that. But when I break that down into its component steps and say, well, okay, this day I need to prepare the wireframes, this day I need to turn those wireframes into Photoshop, and so on and so forth. And the same goes for your marketing. You know, it makes it more palatable and lets you focus more specifically on the things that you can actually do.
Exactly. How I would liken it, and how I'm going to start talking about it. It is a better short-term memory than you have. It's a better short-term memory than I have. It's not a project. It's what's that thing I need to remember to do later, or what's the thing that's most important to get done today. It was like, I have convinced many, many people to use this app. The last person I convinced to use it, we were in a big client meeting. I looked, you know, at my phone during a break, and saw that I had an email from my rep at Twitter. So I read the first couple sentences of that, and then, oh, the break's done. Need to put my phone away because, you know, we're in a meeting with a client. So I put it away, but I realized I didn't get a chance to mark that email as unread again. And I know that I was positive I would forget to check that email again and figure out what I was supposed to do. So I just quickly opened up to do, typed in, reply to email from Twitter, and that was it, and closed my laptop. And the guy sitting beside me immediately after the meeting is like, what was that app you were using? Like, that seems like a brilliant thing to be able to do, to just give yourself a task like that, and then you can immediately just kind of disappear from it, and you will remember it later, you know, or this service will remember it for you. So I love it like that. And I might use this as an opportunity to kind of transition to the other thing we wanted to talk about, which is, so, you know, I give myself all these to-do lists, and some of the tasks are rather, you know, either time consuming or, you know, all those things that I have in my calendar that I look at and go, this is not something I should have to do. This isn't something that requires my particular expertise to be able to accomplish. That could be something like, you know, client needs a spreadsheet formatted differently, or I need to figure out, you know, I need to do some research about a random topic. That's something anyone could do. So every morning I go through my to-do list and I figure out what my virtual assistant could do. And maybe, Chris, do you want to talk a little bit about virtual assistants?
Yeah, absolutely. Virtual assistants. Well, Joel got me started on the kick, in fairness, but it's sort of become one of my favorite pet topics. And one of the ways that I can be way more productive than I used to be. So it started with Fancy Hands, which is a fantastic service based in New York City that lets you basically rent tasks or get tasks completed by virtual assistants. So with Fancy Hands, you pay a set amount a month. I'm not sure. I think it's $25 a month is their base plan.
That's correct. Yeah.
And that gives you five tasks or five requests. And a task or a request can sort of be, you know, find research images based on this theme, or I don't know, schedule a call with this client, or, you know, things like that.
Set me up a doctor's appointment. I think that's what I used it the most for at the beginning. Was I realized I've been stalling on calling my doctor because that's the kind of thing you need to do during business hours, or at least my doctor's clinic is only open from 9 to 5. The idea of getting on the phone and talking to my doctor, which I didn't want to go to the doctor anyway. So I was able to rationalize putting that off forever until I had Fancy Hands, and I just had them call, and they, you know, because they are able to have access, right access to your calendar, they would just put my doctor's appointments in my calendar for me.
Yeah, I did the same thing, and it's sort of a life changer to be able to just type in, you know, one sentence, schedule an appointment with Dr. X, and then have it not only scheduled for you, but it will appear on your calendar. It's just really incredible. They can also buy things for you. So I think up to $100. So maybe you say, send flowers to my mother for Mother's Day, and they can arrange for those flowers. And they actually have deals with a couple different providers like that. So you can get slightly better rates. So Fancy Hands is really great. And I think it's a great start for people who are looking for an assistant. Because one, they're really quick. They'll sort of put your task out to their network of assistants, and somebody can claim it and do that job. Where Fancy Hands starts to fall apart is things like recurring tasks. I believe they can handle that sort of thing, but, you know, sort of, if you need something done every week, you're going to burn through your requests fairly quickly. You know, if you're looking to do more complex things, like, can you prepare this report for me? You might spend a little more time having to explain that kind of thing. And the work can be inconsistent. And I know they've really focused hard on trying to remove that inconsistency, but it is inevitable. Excuse me, that sometimes things, you know, one person might go the extra mile on preparing something. Like, for example, I had one of my first tasks was asking for research images for a website. And the Fancy Hands assistant sent back in a Dropbox folder all the images. Like, it was fantastic. And then I asked for a similar task for another project, you know, give me research images for this project. And it was a different assistant who just kind of sent me a bunch of links. And then I would have had to go in and, you know, do the rest and get them into Dropbox or, you know, however they're convenient. So that inconsistency is why I started looking for a dedicated assistant, a dedicated virtual assistant, because that way, when I spent time, you know, teaching them, here's how to prepare this report, that information wouldn't be lost, because next time they would know how to prepare that same report. And then I could do things like ask them to send me a certain email every day and things like that. So I turned to Elance, which is a service for hiring freelancers around the country and around the world, put up a job description. And honestly, I really lucked out, and I have this great assistant who I got in my first try. So that's sort of my journey with virtual assistants.
Yeah, I mean, so I would just say about that, like, think about all the things you do each day that are just eating up your time that you could be spent doing the stuff that applies to your particular expertise. I mean, I had, I used the same virtual assistant as Chris because I figured, hey, he'd already done the work finding a good one. I'll just see if she's accepting other clients, and it all worked out. But I had a very, very kind of fast turnaround for a giant new business proposal that we were putting together last week. And I needed a lot of research for it. Just kind of stats, like, you know, traveler statistics, find me. It was things like, I need to know the top outbound markets in Europe. What's the fastest growing outbound tourism market in Asia? You know, just things like that. I just needed statistics. That's a task anyone could do. I needed to be spending my time on the stuff that is particular to my skill set, which is taking that information, actually turning it into a marketing plan. So I, you know, sent an email to my virtual assistant, let her know, hey, I've got this potential client I'm working on. This is the information I need. I was like, I need you to help me become, you know, an expert on this topic as fast as possible so that I can do it. And she just spent the next 2 hours just sending me links with excerpts that I could, you know, take and, you know, modify and read the articles. And it turned into being an incredibly useful part of our proposal, is having all this data. I would have spent those 2 hours doing that research instead of writing the rest of the plan. And, you know, who knows if it would have been able to get done on time.
Yeah, absolutely. There, another podcast that I like and highly recommend, the Lifestyle Business Podcast, which is now rebranded as TropicalMBA.com. But anyway, one thing that they said recently that really stuck with me is that an entrepreneur, and I think this can apply, you know, you can twist this for non-entrepreneurs as well, or marketers, whatever, you shouldn't be focused on managing. You should be focused on creating. And they specifically said you don't want to focus on managing a business. You want to be focused on creating new revenue streams. But I think the same can sort of be applied to any job. Once you have a process down, or once you have things that need to be done sort of consistently, or, you know, research and things like that, you don't want to spend your time doing that. You want to focus on getting to new revenue and getting new clients and all that kind of stuff. And having an assistant lets you do that, because you can sort of outsource that process and delegate that to somebody else while you focus on the stuff that actually matters and the stuff that you like doing and that you're good at doing. I've actually built, or I'm in the process of building, several businesses that I wouldn't be able to do on my own. You know, getting, you know, I'll plug the business here, because why not? Studio Sleuth is a website that I have built that catalogs rehearsal studios for actors, who are, you know, a big part of my life in New York City. I deal with a lot of actors and theater people. So basically what I said at the beginning is, I have this idea for a website that lists these studios, and I ask my assistant to go out there in the world and compile a spreadsheet of these rehearsal studios. Then once I saw, you know, there are enough of these and there is enough of a market, why don't we go forward? And, you know, and I was able to code up the website. And then she was able to take that spreadsheet that she created and enter it into WordPress and put in the information everywhere based on the code that I had done, because that's my expertise, is coding and designing and that sort of thing. And she was able to take all that information that she had gotten and put it into the site that I had built. Literally, this business would not have been possible without her being there to do that research and compile those spreadsheets and all that kind of stuff. Now I have her posting to Twitter and Facebook as well, and doing a studio of the week and things like that. I've hired a writer now, distinct from her, but then that writer sends in Word documents that I have my assistant put into WordPress and format and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it literally would not be possible for me to do this second business or this side project without her.
Are you done?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're good?
I'm good. Okay,
cool. Anything else you want to plug while we're over here? I mean, I can keep drinking.
I have, since you asked, I have...
Sure.
I have done a little bit of writing on my website, chrisvanpatten.com. Check it out. But just about the process of hiring an assistant, because on Elance, there are a lot of hurdles to overcome. And I was lucky to get it right the first time. But it is my understanding from most of the people dealing with virtual assistants that you almost never get that lucky. Usually you have to go through a process of trying out a couple assistants before you get the right one.
What's that? No, he's still going.
Yeah. All right, no. I'm done now. I'm done.
What?
I'm done. Officially done.
Okay. Yeah. I'll call you back.
Okay. Bye. How we doing?
Your turn, I guess.
Is it my turn?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. I got.
You actually, you know what I forgot?
Oh, what's that? Yeah, no, totally. I got a photography business I'm doing now. It's mostly tasteful nudes, but we'll save that for another
episode. You don't want to plug it right now?
No, it's kind of a work in progress.
Anyway. So, yeah.
Yeah, so virtual assistants are pretty cool.
Yeah, very cool.
I didn't actually mean to cut you off. but, you know, our listeners will thank me later. what I did want to say is on the productivity front, like we could talk about productivity forever and, you know, I'm sure we will. But I really, really recommend just checking out the podcast Back to Work. It's on the 5x5 network. So I believe that's 5x5. So it's numeral 5x5.tv. They're using that /B2W. They have hundreds of episodes now. I think the 180 episodes or something like that. So there's tons of them. But all of them have useful information for you about how to kind of make more sense of your life, how to be a better boss, how to get more time out of your day, how to appreciate the time in your day more than you possibly already do. They're a very rambly podcast. They're certainly the opposite of ours. Many episodes are over, you know, 90 minutes long, but it's a good background podcast. You can kind of tune in and out when, you know, they're entertaining, but obviously, you know, you'll know when they start talking about something that might be more relevant to you. So I highly recommend it. Of course, Merlin Mann and Dan Benjamin are hilarious. So that certainly helps too. But so much of the advice that, you know, I've given before or, you know, that I will give in the future, I'm sure will come from some of, you know, their ideas. They're two guys who have been through a lot of different ups and downs in, you know, the internet industry and just business in general, who have some incredible advice. So I recommend checking that out.
Yeah. Co-sign on that. The only other thing that I would add just briefly, just do something, right? Cause if you don't have a system for productivity, you're really hurting. So even if it's just starting a to-do list, you don't have to use the to-do app. You can find something else that you like better, or even, you know, just a piece of paper is better than nothing. And commit to it. Above all, you have to commit to your system, because otherwise you'll spend more time trying to develop a system, which is, I think, something that happens over time. You know, with an assistant, just go to Fancy Hands. Just, you know, it's so cheap and you'll get better at it over time. And eventually you'll be able to migrate to a dedicated assistant and all that kind of stuff. But don't spend time getting bogged down in the process and just do
That's
something.
So right. If you find yourself feeling stuck, so it's either stuck in your job, stuck in, you know, trying to make this business work, stuck in trying to, you know, actually get stuff done at your job, you really need to think about how much time of your day you're spent doing work, as in, you know, typing data into a spreadsheet or sending emails or writing down notes, you know, how much time you spend on that versus what you actually have accomplished at the end of the day. And if you're finding that you're able to occupy a whole day, but none of that seems to turn into tangible work, you need to do something about that. Yeah. Or that, you know, that will eventually suffocate you. I always get scared of people who seem to thrive in spreadsheets. It concerns me that they've spent way more time mastering a system of doing work versus accomplishing things. So I would recommend that you know, if anyone could do it, perhaps someone else should.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's probably as good a note as any to go out on.
Great.
Cool. So this has been Not a Real Job. We'll be back next week, hopefully back to our scheduled time of Tuesday releases. with more stuff.
Yeah,
more.
Find us notarealjob.com. Send us questions, questions@notarealjob.com, and subscribe. Join the forum.
Yeah, we're on Twitter, NARJcast. I think we're on Facebook with the same username. Just, you know, find us, talk at us, and tell us how much you hated when I rambled on for 10 minutes.
If you need any tasteful nudes taken or looked at, send that to questions@notarealjob.com. Chris will send me the good ones.
There we go.
And that'll be that.
Perfect. All right. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening, and stay productive.